Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
720 WGN, thanks for joining us. Anytime you talk about pensions in the state of Illinois, everybody gets riled up, whether they're benefiting from it, having paid into it. It's just always a hot topic. And yesterday, when Representative Blaine Willhauer joined us, he said, look, get involved, find out what's happening in Springfield. So we thought that we'd talk to someone else who works in Springfield on a pretty regular basis, and that's Representative Stephanie Kifowitz. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us. I understand you represent the Oswego area.
I do, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I represent the Oswego-Aurora area, but I'm also the chair of the Personnel and Pensions Committee in the state. So I'm very well-versed on this subject matter, and I appreciate you having me on.
I'm so thankful that you're joining us, because yesterday so many text messages came in, and I can't say they're mostly questions, statements, and everybody feels like they're getting the raw end of the stick because they feel like the state hasn't kept up their end of the bargain. Tell us what's happening now and why this is back in the news.
Well, what's happening is that myself and many others in the General Assembly take the pension situation very seriously. In fact, last year we had 15 subject matter hearings over the course of last year, and were presented many, many reports, actuarial studies. COGFA, the Commission on Government Forecast and Accountability, gave us numbers. So we've been doing this very methodically and making sure that we are really looking into the subject matter. But the bottom line is the Tier 2 pension system doesn't even hold up to our neighboring states with regards to when individuals can retire. They have individuals paying into the pension system for 12 years after they've maxed out to the age of 67. And retention issues. I'm hearing from a lot of, not even the state, but school districts that say people just are not staying in the profession because of the issues with the pension in the Tier 2 system.
And so the idea from some people is to enhance that Tier 2 pension system, right?
Well, I don't look at it as enhancement. I look at it as doing the right thing for the employer and doing the right thing for the state. We need to attract good workers to the state of Illinois. Our pension system is one of the factors that is a barrier to that. So you can't get good workers in that'll do the job of the state, some of it very difficult jobs like our DCFS workers, without having a comprehensive benefit package. So to make a better state, we have to have better workers. To get better workers, we got to make sure that our pension package is comparable to at least our neighboring states.
Absolutely. And oh my gosh, those DCFS workers. That is a job nobody wants, and they do not get paid enough. And I think a lot of people that work for the state sacrifice some of their pay versus working in the public sector and possibly making more money because they believe the pension will be there when they need it.
100%. That's always been the mantra of government. Government work is hard. It's difficult. And to force employees to work until they're 67 to start collecting their pension, even if they started, let's say they started in their 20s, it's not right to begin with. And it's not competitive with our neighboring states or the private sector.
What do you think? Should there be a different age, or should it be based on how many years you have put in?
I think it's a combination of both. Last year we've heard testimony, and this year we'll have testimony as well. But we're looking at changing both. If you put in 35 years and you're around 62, then you should be able to retire. Now, other states have the rule of 85, which is a little bit more generous than that rule. But we're looking at acknowledging that if you put in 35 years to your career, God bless you, you should be able to retire at like 62. I'm looking at 20 years and 64, and we're looking at keeping the 10 and 67. It just makes sense.
Representative, it's Steve here in the newsroom. I think, first of all, I think we confuse things, and I want you to clarify if you can. We're talking about government workers, not necessarily teachers. And so
teachers, government workers, the same.
Same thing?
Okay. I'm talking about the same. The state, state pays the pension for the teachers, not property taxes. The state pays the pension for the teachers, the university instructors, the guy that plows the snow on through IDOT.
Okay, well, okay, I get
workers.
That.
We're looking at the pension systems of the state and we're also looking at the Tier 2 effects it's having on the local government as well.
Okay, but I would just want to go back to this idea of making government workers work until they're 67. I got a lot of friends mm-hmm. who are retired teachers, and they did it long before 60. I've got a relative who was mm-hmm. a state trooper, and she retired way before 55. So
correct. Our first responders do have a different age to retire than the 67. I'm just talking mostly teachers.
Okay, let's stick with teachers.
The state workers. Our police and fire, I mean, their bodies get beat up. So they will retire earlier just because of the strenuous jobs that they do. And God bless them for that.
Yeah,
so
I'm not faulting them. I'm not faulting them. I'm just saying it seems to me that, and I don't mean to be argumentative, but when it comes to teachers, I know quite a few who retire well before 65 or 62 even.
Well, they could have under Tier 1. Right now, we're about 40% of our workforce is under the Tier 2. We have a few Tier 2 individuals retiring. So the people you're talking about are Tier 1 employees that are already retired. We are going to start seeing our Tier 2 employees start retiring. We already have one that's retiring this year from the State University Retirement System. We will have several more from the teacher system. So they will start retiring now under the Tier 2 system. So your friends who have retired was under the old system.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. Right. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Another texter said where they work, the Tier 2 people pay half as much into the pension as the Tier 1 people do. Is that true? And is it based on where they work?
Well, I checked with all the universities, so I did hear that yesterday, and they pay the same percentage of pay into the pension system, regardless if they're a Tier 1 or a Tier 2. It's a percentage of pay in which they pay into. So that was not changed. So actually, the Tier 2 individuals are paying the same amount into a pension system for the less benefits than the Tier 1 individuals that are paying the same percentage amount of the benefits that they're going to get.
And yesterday, Representative Willhauer indicated that he didn't feel there was enough analysis done to make mm-hmm. some significant changes. What's your reaction to that?
Well, Representative Willhauer mentioned that last week in committee, and I instructed my staff to send the various actuarial counts, and including the CONFA account, the CONFA reports. So I've had at least multiple actuarial reports that were presented in committee last summer, including the CAGFA reports. We've had CAGFA reports on all the bills that have been filed with regard to the Tier 2 pensions last year and this year. So apparently Representative Willhauer must have been missing those.
Okay, and so for people who are listening, and text messages are coming in fast and furious, and you have people testifying, you have people sharing their stories, should they reach out to the representative? How can they get involved where they feel they can have their voice heard?
Well, we have open subject matter hearings. So if individuals want to testify in our subject matter hearings, that they can certainly email me or call my Springfield office or even my district office, and we will allow them to Zoom in and testify on subject matter hearings. I think their voices are very important. They should also be reaching out to their representatives in their areas as well and informing them of their stories and them of the effects of the Tier 2. I mean, to be quite honest, the Tier 2 employees are subsidizing the Tier 1 system right now, and it's just not fair, and we need to have policy that's good for the employee and policy that's good for the state of Illinois. So we are looking at this from a fiscally responsible standpoint as well.
And Representative, how many people are paying into that Tier 2 program? Have any idea?
It was in committee. I don't have that number in front of me, but it's about between 40 to 50% of the workforce right now are Tier 2 employees.
Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. We hope you'll come back again.
Oh, anytime. Just let me know, and I'm happy to be on the show, and I really appreciate the time. And can I give my email really quick?
Yeah, please, because people do need to get involved if this is of concern to them.
Email me. They can email me stephanie.kifowit@att.net. And anybody listening can certainly email me with their questions, their concerns, and their stories. Stephanie.kifowit@att.net.
Well, that's courageous.
Hey, she's got staff. You'll get emails, but that's what you're there for, right? You're there to serve the people.
It comes to my phone. I'll see them.
Excellent. And thank you so much.
Yes.
Representative,
thank you so much.
Representative Stephanie Kifowit, 84th District. All right, Steve's News next on 720 WGN.
Lisa Dent, WGN.